This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
When we were in Atlanta for 6 years, there was an elderly couple by the name of Richard and Jean White. But Richard and Jean White would talk about their son, Richard White, and they told us he was a doctor, he was a professor at a place called Wright State University at one time in Dayton, Ohio. And now, at the time, they said he's serving as a professor of pharmacology and toxicology at the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta, where the Masters Golf Tournament is played. I didn't think much about it. I'd never met him. But I would always listen to Richard and Jean talk about their son. It wasn't until Annie and I came here and began our ministry here that I started hearing people talk about a former elder here by the name of Richard White, who taught at Wright State, and all of a sudden they put it together as the same person. And what's interesting about Richard to me is that even though he teaches pharmacology and he teaches toxicology as a professor at the medical college in Augusta, he wrote a book about the Lord's Supper. He wrote a book called Our Meal with the Master that just focuses in on what we take every Sunday at Crossview Christian Church, not legalistically. We take it because we believe that's what the early church did. It's just an inference in Scripture that on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, to take communion. That's why we do it. But Richard writes this in his book, Our Meal with the Master. I want to start with his quote today. It gets out those tough stains. You've heard those ads, those wonderful claims made by soap companies that tout the superior cleansing ability of their products. No matter how much dirt or how long the stain is set, this great detergent will wash away that stain. Long before the wisdom of television commercials, the Bible spoke of the world's greatest detergent. Believe it or not, it's called blood. B-L-O-O-D. Medically, the purifying, life-sustaining power of blood is well known. We usually think of blood as being the bearer of oxygen and food to each of the 100 trillion or so cells. But a less glamorous, yet no less vital function of our blood is garbage collection. In exchange for what it needs, each of your body's cells gives off toxic waste products that must be removed from the cell's immediate environment. Otherwise, death will occur in only a matter of minutes. In your body, there is no life without sanitation, and there is no greater garbage removal system than your bloodstream. Could this be what the Bible had in mind when it says this in Hebrews 9:22? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, Christ's blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Think of all the garbage and waste that would keep you from being invited to the Lord's table if it were not for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Not only can the world's greatest detergent remove all the toxic waste from your life, but it can do the same for about 6 billion other people with terrible stains upon their lives. And without the cleansing power of this blood, each of these 6 billion people will die. Something else about the blood, too. It really is thicker than water. You can't see through a container of blood like you can a glass of water. Blood makes things disappear, even our most terrible sins. And then he closes with this remark. Isn't it comforting to know that God looks at us through blood-colored glasses? Glasses that obliterate our sins and reveal only the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Well, so begins the sixth of seven messages about the final week in the life of Christ, talking about the Lord's Supper. On the night that Jesus was betrayed at a Passover meal, he took bread and he took a cup of wine and he blessed both and gave them to his disciples and said, "This is my body, this is my blood." Let's continue this tomorrow on Cross Hope. Well, all this week, the sixth message in a series of seven, about the final week or Holy Week in the life of Jesus, this week about communion, the Lord's Supper. We closed yesterday with some quotes by a Dr. Richard White, a professor of pharmacology and toxicology, talking about the cleansing power of human blood, and he talks about the spiritual application to what the Lord does at communion in the Lord's Supper when we partake of the cup which represents his blood and the bread that represents his body and the power of that spiritually in your life and in mine.
Then he closes with this remark. Isn't it comforting to know that God looks at us through blood-colored glasses, glasses that obliterate our sins and reveal only the righteousness of Jesus Christ? As you partake of the cup, do so with the assurance that the Savior's blood has provided not only a life-giving transfusion, but a cleansing transformation that has removed your sins forever. Because 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sins. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sins. Today we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper from a different perspective. I want to share some things with you, three things that I'm going to ask you to write down in a minute about what the Lord's Supper means to us. Just three simple words that maybe you've never thought about before. For this reason, have you ever had something happen in your life and your spouse said, how could you forget that? How could you forget my birthday? How could you forget the anniversary? How could you forget that we're supposed to go out with those people Friday night? How could you forget our son's birthday, our daughter's birthday? And you've been there and done that. Everybody has. You know what bothers me more than all of that combined? Is men and women who have forgotten what the cross means in their life. And they forget about the sacrifice. I'll tell you why. Because in the Bible, the word forget means two things. Some of you have heard me give this before, but the word forget biblically means to cease to remember. That's a given. That's obvious. But here's the scary part of forgetting. In the Bible, forgetting not only means to cease to remember, it means to cease to care. Wow. Takes on a whole new meaning for me. Not just to cease to remember, but to cease to care. We live in a culture of people who couldn't care less about the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. I got a job, making a living, driving a pretty nice car. Why would I need the cross? Why would I need anything to do with eternity? Why would I need to do anything to do with my past, my present, or future? And that's the message today. How could you forget what Christ has done? Let's read the famous passage in 1 Corinthians 11 where the Apostle Paul tells about the Last Supper. Verse 23 of chapter 11 says this, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Well, we'll begin tomorrow's program on Cross Hope, reading the rest of this passage, letting you know this is the sixth of seven messages on the final week, the Holy Week in the life of Christ. Our website is crosshope.org. We like to tell you that from time to time, crosshope.org. To listen to any message you've missed, or to find out more about a ministry that we call Cross Hope Radio Ministry. Thank you, and God bless.
For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. A man or woman ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone, who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment on himself. I want to give you three words today to write in your notes, and everything will flow out of these three words. The word deliverance, the word forgiveness, and the word life. From this day forward, I would like to think that every time you take communion, you're going to think about your deliverance, your forgiveness, in your life because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. A little history. Jesus is meeting with his disciples for the Passover meal. Usually where families had the Passover meal together, Jewish families, but as a group of disciples with Jesus, they are taking the Passover meal together. And it was at the Passover meal that Jesus took one of four cups of wine that was offered during the Passover meal and said, I think it's referred to as the cup of blessing. He said, this cup represents my blood. It is my blood. The bread represents my body. And from now on, every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim my death. I didn't mention this in the first two services, but some of you have heard me say this before. People say, who am I proclaiming to when I take the emblems? You're proclaiming to the people next to you, I believe in Jesus. You're proclaiming to yourself, I believe in Jesus. And as melodramatic, and some of you say, man, that is over the top, you are proclaiming to Satan, get your hands off me. Get your hands off my husband. Get your hands off my wife. Get your hands off my kids. We belong to Christ. And this bread, and this cup, it symbolizes what Jesus did for us on the cross. I think that's a real proclamation. But I want to talk about deliverance first. We don't use the word deliverance, and a lot of churches don't, because they associate it with some churches that are more expressive in their worship, perhaps more active in their worship, and we don't use the deliverance term. I've got an announcement to make. If you live in this country in 2013, you need deliverance, and so do I. You need deliverance, and so do I. Deliverance presupposes bondage. Deliverance presupposes that we're in slavery, and we need to be delivered. There are not a lot of people that have know this term, but I had people come out of both the first and second services and said, that's me, what you described. ACOA, adult child of an alcoholic. Some of you have heard that terminology. For others, that's, man, I've never heard that term. I hadn't heard it for years until recent years. Dwight Walter describes himself as an adult child of an alcoholic. He describes his childhood in ways that blew my mind when I read it. He said, I was raised in hell. Can you imagine saying that about your childhood? I was raised in hell. Chaos felt like home. Confusion felt normal. Chaos felt like home, and confusion felt normal. He said, my parents taught me three things. I can't imagine referencing my mom and dad and say, my parents taught me insanity, fear, and hatred. It's a pretty bleak picture, isn't it, what he's describing. I was raised in hell. My parents taught me insanity, fear, and hatred. And yet as a believer, and you need to hear this because this is a word for somebody today. He said, the Lord didn't deliver me out of it, but the Lord delivered me in it.
Well, that's a powerful story told by Dwight Walter. We'll continue this story exactly where we leave off tomorrow on CrossHope, our website, crosshope.org. God bless you. Well, yesterday on CrossHope, we ended with a story told by Dwight Walter, who referred to himself as an ACOA, an adult child of an alcoholic. He told about being raised in hell, where chaos felt like home, confusion felt normal. It was a bleak story. We continue in the middle of that story and complete the story today. God bless you.
I was raised in hell. My parents taught me insanity, fear, and hatred. And yet as a believer, and you need to hear this because this is a word for somebody today. He said, the Lord didn't deliver me out of it, but the Lord delivered me in it. It's not a play on words. I knew exactly what he meant. What did he mean? The Lord's hand didn't come out of heaven and say, Dwight, I think it's time for me to take you out of your home and put you in this home over here 20 miles away. That didn't happen to him. He stayed in that home. But he said, the Lord delivered me in that home. I think I know what he meant. That God's grace and redemptive power and deliverance power delivered him in that situation. And that's got to be a word for somebody today, because maybe you're dealing with something, you're dealing with someone, you're dealing with the situation, and you said, Lord, get me out of here, get me out of this place, get me out of this job, get me out of this situation. And the Lord says, I'm going to deliver you in it, not necessarily out of it. And I really believe that could speak to somebody today. Deliverance is a good biblical word to think about when you take communion. today when you take communion. Lord, thank you for my deliverance. The second word is forgiveness. Forgiveness, that's a given. But some people don't appreciate the forgiveness they have because of Christ. Everything that has to do with forgiveness in your life, remember this, is tied into the cross. Please get this. God doesn't forgive you because you're a nice guy. God doesn't forgive you because you're a pretty decent woman. You know, you're pretty good. And when you take communion on Sundays, I hope you don't rehearse your good things. Like, Lord, I sure hope you appreciated what I did Tuesday for you. Lord, I hope you're grateful for what I did Friday for that older person. It has nothing to do with your worthiness or my worthiness. It has nothing to do with my acts of righteousness or yours. Our forgiveness is based on the death of Christ, period. And he became our sin on the cross, and we forget that. If I could quote Richard White again from his book, this is a story that most men can relate to. He said, there are two things all men seem to have. One is a junk drawer to store our stuff. The other is a comfortable old T-shirt that is now a rag. For some of us, getting rid of that favorite T-shirt, no matter how bad it looks, is not an easy thing. Oftentimes, men refuse to use this particular rag because it used to be my best T-shirt. But he says, I've noticed that for many of us, once we designate a shirt as a rag, even if we never use it, we can't seem to make ourselves wear it because now it is a rag. No matter how many times we wash it, bleach it, sterilize it, or purify it, it's a garment that will never be worn again. And then Richard says this, God's word is clear that everyone is clothed in something. In Isaiah 64:6, we're told, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags before the Lord. You don't bring your resume to communion. You don't bring your spiritual track record, neither do I. You don't bring a list of anything. You say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And I recognize that all of deliverance and all of forgiveness comes out of the cross.
Well, this message will conclude tomorrow. I want you to hear a powerful story as we conclude. A reminder, our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you've missed on Crosshope.
There's a third word I want to talk about. It's the word life. Communion is something that we do. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. It's an act of looking back to the past, but it's also an act of looking forward to the future. We look back to the cross and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. But we look forward to the future in terms of eternal life is connected with what Christ did on the cross. Many of you participated, many people from Crossview participated in what was called the food pack 2 or 3 weeks ago. 57,000 meals were prepared for Haiti, for use in Haiti. Many of you don't know that the mission that we're involved with that does that is called Lifeline Christian Mission out of Columbus. Bob and Gretchen DeVoe are the founders of that organization that's now in 6 or 7 countries, including Cuba. They have mission points in 6 or 7 countries. It's really grown into a big organization. What's interesting is their story. Bob DeVoe was a builder, contractor, building office buildings, medical office buildings. That's what he did in Columbus, Ohio. His wife, Gretchen, was an RN at one of the hospitals in Columbus. I knew them back in the late 70s. I want you to listen to Gretchen writing about their life because it's a powerful story that's going to touch somebody in a profound way. Allow me to take you back, she says, to 1976. Bob and I were living a life filled with the world and self. Anybody connect with that? Bob and I were living a life filled with the world and self. Bob owned his own contracting businesses, plural, and was successful by the world's standards. We owned a beautiful home in the suburbs of Columbus, an in-ground swimming pool, several acres of land, several Corvette sports cars were in our big garage. Country club memberships, tennis clubs, racquetball, golf, etc. Bob was listed in the who's who in American business. And our home was featured in the elegant home section of the Columbus Dispatch newspaper. Get the picture, she says. We were rolling high. We were doing great. But in April of 76, Bob was diagnosed with stage 4 malignant melanoma that had metastasized to his axillary lymph nodes. The doctors informed us that Bob's time was short. There was no known effective treatment for melanoma at this stage at the time. And get this, Bob's riding high with his job and career, and he's told, you got about 60 days left. 60 days, you got 2 months. Make the best of it. While in the hospital, I've been to the hospital that she refers to, Bob went to the little chapel that's there, and he got on his knees in the front of that chapel and said, God, whatever your will is for my life, I accept it. He didn't beg for healing. He just said, whatever your will for my life is, I accept it. That was in April of 76. We're now in 2013. He's alive and well, and 37 years later, and directing this mission called Lifeline Christian Mission. And it's just an amazing story. Now, what Bob would tell you, more than the healing, in other words, obviously there was a medical change in his life, here's what Bob would say, I was delivered physically, but I was delivered spiritually by the grace of God. Bob would tell you, I was forgiven by what was accomplished on the cross, and I have life. I have life 37 years later. I'm still alive, but he's alive for eternity because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. Richard White is so right. We need to realize that there's something that covers the stain of sin in my life. It's not good works. It's not your track record. It's not your personal history. It's the blood of Christ. Always has been, always will be. Don't ever forget that today.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.